Cyclone Fanatic Radio is on the air.
All you gotta do is put a drink in my hand.
That's what she said.
Crazy town full of neon dreams. Everybody plays, everybody sings.
That just happened.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Y'all ready? They ready? Well, come on.
We
well, come
ready.
On. Y'all ready?
They ready?
We ready?
Come on. I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
It's the Cyclone Fanatic Collins Show live from Kippy's Place in Elkhart with your hosts Chris Williams, Brent Bloom, and Tron Smith from Wilson Toyota of Ames. Get your questions in by calling 515-284-5966. Now, here's Chris Williams, Brent Bloom, and Tron Smith.
Hey, thank you very much, Andrew Downs. Very much appreciated, and welcome to the first Cyclone Fanatic Collins Show of 2012 here at Kippy's Place in Elkhart. I'm Chris Williams. No Tron Smith from Wilson Toyota of Ames yet. He will join us in just a little bit. Brent Bloom taking the week off, and he will be back in the chair coming up next Thursday. But we do have a special guest tonight at Kippy's Place in Elkhart. Being that it's Cyhawk week, we thought we would invite our friend John Miller from HawkeyeNation.com into the Hornet's Nest tonight. You are on the Hy-Vee hot seat for the entire hour. John Miller, how are you doing, my
friend? I'm good. I can do this. Back in 05, Steve Dace and I, we had a 90-minute live television broadcast from just outside of Jack Trice Stadium in about 95-degree weather and 40-mile-per-hour winds, which is normal up there. And made it through that, made it through a few things. I can make it through this.
I'm sure that the clones were very hospitable that day to you.
That was one of the most big time, big feel things I've ever done. And, you know, I've had a TV show at least for 2 months on the Big Ten Network. You know,
I watched it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It was a good cup of coffee. But that almost, you know, the MediaCom game day that we had in 05 was, I don't know, that was a pretty big, that was a huge feel. There were literally thousands of people watching us. We had Bob Bowlesby at the time. Iowa State's athletic director prior to Jamie Pollard, Bruce Vanderbilt, he was there, and we had former players. It was a big time, so a lot of fun. A lot of fun around Iowa State game, and this year no different, and boy.
So you said you did that back in 2005?
That was 05.
What was the final of that one?
I believe Iowa State fans have burned that final into my mind. That was 23-3. Iowa State.
Come on by Kippy's Place in Elkhart. Wanted to hear John Miller say that.
You're lucky Drew Tate got a concussion, right?
Exactly. I don't believe that for a second, but I'm just going to let you think that. Hey, Kippy's Place in Elkhart tonight, home of the best burgers in the world. John, you know, we wanted to have you on for multiple reasons. You're a friend of ours. You obviously publish HawkeyeNation.com, but it's Iowa Super Bowl week. And, you know, I mean, it's the biggest game of the year for you guys. You've been backpedaling. You're playing. It's psychological warfare via the text message going on right now. Give us your thoughts on the big game here in a couple days.
Well, you know, you may think that you've got me, you know, in a place where I don't have any friends. I am sitting right by
Tron Smith just walked in.
You bust out the Iowa Super Bowl when Tron walks in, but you know, it's one of those things where through the years, obviously the fans have fun. We all have fun with it. I think I may have said along the way that you know, this game has bigger to Iowa State at some points in time, you know. But I've been doing this for like 12 years. All right, I've been doing Cyhawk Week on the radio in Iowa, in Des Moines, Iowa, for a long time. Earlier on during that time frame, and when Dan McCarney was there, I did feel that it was bigger for Iowa State. Maybe that was just a defense mechanism. I don't know. I will say this now, however. Obviously, it's a rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't when I was a kid. It just simply wasn't.
Me either.
You know, it was a beatdown, mm-hmm. but that's not the case anymore. We've got an entire generation of kids who've grown up in this state to where this game means a lot of big things. It's not. It's very difficult to predict. This week's game will be one of the more difficult predictions in the series history, in my opinion. So it's a big game. It's a big game to everybody. It's a big game to me, quite frankly. If I could vote for this game to go away, I might do it because I am on tilt all week long.
Yeah, because of the mud getting slung. And I think Twitter and Facebook heighten that.
Yeah.
Compared to when I first kind of started doing this line of work. I mean, it's pretty simple. I posted a story the other day specifically, you know, it was about A.J. Klein. He made some comments about students at Iowa State wearing Iowa shirts.
Right.
And he wasn't just talking about Iowa. He was talking about
any
school. And, you know, and that got the Hawkeye Nation riled up. I think I had five people tweet at me, hashtag Super Bowl at that point. And that stuff does get tiresome during Hawkeye.
Five people is riled up?
Well, you know what I'm saying. My point is, 10 years ago, they couldn't do that.
No, they couldn't do that.
And
We are all more easy to communicate with
exactly.
Now. They can reach out and touch you. They can talk smack at you in multiple venues, whether it's Cyclone Fanatic. Well, you'd probably ban them if they did that there.
Just kick them off.
Kick them off.
We don't want no Hawkeye trolls.
That's right. That's right. But on Twitter, you know, talk radio, call-in shows, it's 24/7 media everywhere, every place. But I love it. I mean, I was looking forward all week to coming up here tonight to Elkhart to do this show here because I love getting out, meeting people, talking to people. And it doesn't matter if they cheer for Iowa, cheer for Iowa State. At the end of the day, at the end of the day Saturday, we all go to church together on Sunday.
Yeah.
We all work together next week. You know, we can have fun this week. We can verbally beat one another down.
But when
it's over, yeah, it's over.
Yeah.
You know, at least for some people. Now, if I run my mouth too much, then I got to live with it the whole rest of the year. So I haven't been running my mouth this week.
Which you've had a history of.
I have.
In your full-time radio
days.
Oh,
yeah, memorialized smack running, as one poster on Cyclone Fanatic said today. I think a year ago tomorrow, I was saying that there was an article, I believe, in the Ames Tribune that compared a potentially Steele Jantz to a Seneca Wallace-like player. And I went off on the radio and said, there's no way, no chance that anybody will ever approach what Seneca Wallace did. And I'll be darned if Steele Jantz didn't have a better game than Seneca did against Iowa
in
2002.
Right there.
And quite frankly, in that game, Iowa State was the better team. Iowa was fortunate to get to overtime. I mean, had Iowa State not had those self-inflicted wounds, Iowa State was going in to score at least on one of those fumbles. They were deep in their own territory on another one of those turnovers. Iowa was fortunate to get to overtime. So I'm not too happy about that, and I had to live with that for a year. I got a chance to get the monkey off my own personal back, but I am, you know, you're probably going to draw stuff out of me tonight that I've been wanting to avoid all week long.
Hey, I just want to have a good conversation.
All right,
let's do that. This is for the listeners. This isn't just for the Cyclone Fanatic listeners. It's for everybody in Central Iowa and streaming online around the world. Let's bring in Tron Smith from Wilson Toyota of Ames, who is he is sporting the Beat Iowa shirt. Tron, I assume that was by you planned this one, right?
No.
Let's get Tron's mic turned on here, if possible.
There we go,
Tron.
You know, I know John doesn't want to hear me. I'm sure there's a few people out there that they definitely want to hear me. No, you know, I got dressed. I looked in the closet, and the first thing that I saw.
Why not? You got to bring
it. It's fitting. You know?
That's old school, too, Tron.
I don't take you for somebody who backs down from anything, so I'm glad you did that.
You know, I was listening to you kind of talk your insert about the things you say and people getting physical. See, I'm on the other side of that. I'm more of the physical type.
I didn't say people getting physical. Let's leave the physical somewhere else.
You know, for all you guys that can't
see it. Because I will admit right now, I'm out the back door.
I think we need to get one of those set up pictures where Tron's acting like he's punching you for Twitter.
You know, I saw the cage outside. I'm assuming that's for me and you.
You know, I got the reach, but it probably gets to the ground to pound. I'm going to have some trouble.
Hey, if you're listening out there, you want to join us, give us a call, 515-284-5966. If you have a question for any of us or even John Miller, maybe you want to tell John your thoughts on his career. HawkeyeNation.com.
That's what we want. Let's take calls all night on that.
You know, I got a guy that I work with that I told him today, I said, listen, when I get to Kippies tonight, John Miller's going to be there. And the guy's got a John Miller shirt. Yeah. It's in pink, but it's still a John Miller shirt. Don't know where he got the thing from, but he does have it. And he's just ranting and going on. He says, when you see John, you tell him, I was going to score 34 points. So, John, I'm telling you, there's a guy that says I was going to score 34 points. I told him maybe 33 because that's the only way, the way they're going to kick field goals, that's the only way they're going to score.
So that would be
33
11.
33 kind of equates a little better. I don't know, but you do have fans, a lot of fans at Wilson Toyota Scion. So I'm just doing my job and saying thanks, John Miller, for being on.
All right, well, it's good to be here. We're going to have some fun tonight. We're going to have some fun.
I say we start kind of breaking this thing down, guys. I just had a – right before I came here to Kippy's Place in Elkhart tonight, 2,000 words is what I had on my mind about this football game. And what I found was odd. I kind of do a thing in my previews where Iowa will win the game if ... And I list some keys to victory. Iowa State will win the game if ... And what I found myself doing about this football game was – a lot of similarities, I think, on both sides. I obviously, stopping the run. John, I know you're huge on the interior defensive line for Iowa as a big key to victory for the Hawkeyes. But I kind of just feel like these teams are so even, and Vegas backs us up on that, that it's a kick return for a touchdown. You can't let the other side do that this week. You do that, that might be your fate. Just a small play like that, I feel like, could dictate the entire football game. I don't think, personally, I feel like if this game was anywhere other than Kinnick Stadium, I'd probably be fairly confident picking Iowa State. But at the same time, you got a quarterback in Steele Jantz who had a fairly, I don't think legendary performance is too big of a word when you talk about last year's game with Iowa. But at the same time, he's never gone on the road, really. I don't count UConn based off of what he saw in UConn last year in Storrs, Connecticut, is nothing like he's going to see at Kinnick Stadium on Saturday. I just feel like there's so many mysteries surrounding this football game. So I guess I'll pose it to you, John. I mean, Steele Jantz, you saw him last year. You know the whole story.
Right.
What concerns you? What do you like about the matchup? Give us that aspect from an Iowa perspective.
Well, honestly now, since we're in the analysis part of this, so
yes,
I'm going to stick to
yeah,
the
X's and O's. Yeah, we're being serious now.
There's not a lot about the matchup that I really like this year from an Iowa perspective. Last year against Iowa State, Iowa's defensive ends had a nightmare of a problem. Not Broderick Benz, the other side, Dominic Alves, LeBron Daniel. They could not keep outside containment. And if you cannot hold outside, and also the linebackers on that side, if you cannot hold outside containment against a dual-threat quarterback like Steele Jantz, you've got very little chance. Certainly on the road, you've got very little chance. Iowa did a poor job of that, and Jantz went off. I mean, he just flat out did.
Mm-hmm.
Statistically, Iowa State won the advantage in most of the key statistics in that game. It's some of the, 80, 90 more yards, more rushing yards, more first downs. Really weren't even close. It was turnovers that kept Iowa in that game. Jantz, yes, it was a legendary performance. Some of the plays that he made on third and forever, fourth and forever, we may not see those again. I'm not going to call him luck because he saw those throws. He made those throws. He made those runs. It was his day. And quite frankly, if it happened against anybody other than Iowa, well, I'll never forget the game. But if it happened against somebody else, it would be I would have standed and given the guy an ovation.
Yeah.
Probably should anyway because it was just an amazing individual performance that day. I don't know that we're not going to see him do that again, but I don't think that he has to. You look at what he did last week against Tulsa, and you could argue that that was a better performance against Tulsa from
Absolutely.
A quarterbacking perspective than what he did against Iowa. Because last week, there weren't any flukes, weren't any luck, any of those things you want to throw out. That was what a quarterback is supposed to do. That first touchdown pass that he threw, I went and watched that last night
Beautiful.
Four or five times. He dropped back in the pocket. He was getting a rush. The end was moving up. He couldn't really step up in the pocket, and it exploded out of his arm. His follow-through was limited by the defender in front of him, and he hits the receiver in stride across the field, touchdown. That's a throw he didn't make last year.
No.
He played like a quarterback who was in control, confident this weekend. That might have been his best game as a Cyclone. That is a big-time concern.
I'm going to tell you what I like about Steele. I said the same thing last year before this game. The kid has no attachment to this rivalry. It really doesn't matter to him. I listened to him in the press conference the other day. They were talking about what he thought about the game. And the first thing he said was, I don't care if I'm playing in the front yard or if I'm playing in front of 80,000 people. I just want to win the game. This kid's person will serve him well in this game. It just doesn't matter. He looked more comfortable just like you said last week, I like the Steel Jansen I saw last week. I think the problem that Iowa is going to have is I don't think that's the Steel Jansen that they're prepared for. I think they're looking for the guy we saw last year. I don't know if that's going to help them or hurt them. I like the Steel I saw last year. I saw a confident quarterback. I also saw a quarterback that stood back there and said, you know what, I have great running backs. I have great receivers. Right. I don't have to do it all. My offensive line is going to do their job. This Iowa State squad is becoming a team, and I think that is the scariest part about us going to Kinnick. The 3.5 points or whatever it's going to be, four, whatever it's going to be, you know, if I'm an Iowa fan, that's concerning to me because I think it's a 6-point field anyway.
Oh, yeah.
It will be a good game. And I've been telling fans all since last week, forget about the Tulsa game, forget about the Northern Illinois game. This is a rivalry game. These teams will show up. This will be two different teams. And then, honestly, I think it's Iowa State's game to lose. I really do. I think for the first time in a long time, you look at the talent on both teams and you say, I think Iowa State's got more talent. They definitely have more depth. I think it'll be a good game. I'm not going and saying we're going to win by 14. I'm saying if we get out early, it's going to be tough to catch them.
To piggyback what you said about Jantz, though, last year there were all these nicknames from the spectacular things that he did in the first three games of the season. Superman shirts were being thrown around the student section. Ian Smith, who covers football for us, called him Houdini Jantz a couple games in a row for the first two last year, which I thought was very fitting. But the thing about him is, and Paul Rhodes kind of alluded this earlier this week in his press conference, is they're not really – I don't think they want him to be that guy anymore.
Be a quarterback.
Yeah, and he did that. It was third and long this past week against Tulsa. It was a one-score game. It was late in the fourth quarter, and Steele got forced out of the pocket. He was being blitzed. And he dumped it off to a tight end. It was Ricky Howard, I think, for like a 7-yard gain. I think last year, Steel Jantz tries to reverse the field again, spin around, and you're pulling your hair out going, Steel, don't do anything stupid. But my question is to you guys, can he do that in Kinnick Stadium? We still don't know. And to me, that's the big mystery when you look at Iowa State. I think, and this is what I wrote, I think that if he can do that, if he can be that poised game manager that we saw a week ago in Jack Trice Stadium, I think Iowa wins. If you revert back to Steel Jantz from last year, I think it's going to be a long bus ride home.
Well, Tron brought up, a very valid point in that Jantz is not from here. The hype that is a part of this game when you grow up here or you've been here for a long time, he may not feel that level of anxiety. He's got to deal with going in on the road into a big stadium just like every football player's got to deal with. So that's not going to go away. But he doesn't have that extra, those extra, you know, mental reps going on that, man, I was a little kid wanting this, that, and the other. So he gets to take that out of the equation. And Kinnick Stadium's fairly unique. The sidelines, you know, it's 10 yards from the boundary to the front stand. I'm not just saying it because it's Kinnick. You know, I've got a lot of friends of mine that are former Hawkeyes that played in the NFL, and all those players talk in the locker rooms and say, hey, man, what was the toughest place you played? And every one of them hates Kinnick Stadium because of that.
Yeah.
But I think Jantz, it'll be – you got to go do it. But he looked like a cool customer this weekend. And the play you talked about, dumping off – knowing that it's not going to be enough yards for the first down, the word punt is not a four-letter word.
No.
It's not a four-letter word in football. Sometimes you punt, come back, and fight another day. And when your quarterback makes that transition in his career, that's a good step.
I think the team. I think the team as a whole is what I saw in the trust factor. And I've been saying that all week. The trust factor from a quarterback to a running back to everybody else on this team, it plays a major part. And that's what I saw last week. This is Steele's the quarterback because he's not the Steele from last year. Mm-hmm. I don't expect him to run around. I don't expect him to run unless he has to, and that's what he showed us last week against Tulsa.
All right, guys, got to take a quick break. When we come back, though, I want to pick John's brain more about the Iowa side of this football game and to learn a little bit more about Iowa State's opponent coming up on Saturday. Before we do that, cool contest going on here at Kippy's Place in Elkhart. Okay, go to facebook.com/Kippy's Place where they're doing this. The best Iowa or Iowa State joke, you can win a free keg party here at Kippy's for the best Iowa or Iowa State joke, but you got to go to their Facebook page to enter. Again, that's facebook.com/Kippy's Place. Man, I don't even want to know what that wall looks like at this point. Here we are Thursday. I bet the
I got one.
Oh, Lord.
Oh. I got one.
Hey, just keep in mind, I'm really close to
you. I got one. Right. What does an Iowa State fan do right after they win a conference championship?
What?
Turn off the Xbox.
We need to take a break. We'll be back here with more of the Cyclone Fanatic Call-In Show after this on 1460 KXNO.
Hey, Cyclone Fanatics. Chris Williams here. And one of the things I love about going into Mr. B's each week to chat Cyclones with Tim Sitzman, I get to watch how the store is run. Every customer is greeted sincerely. They're catered to their entire time they're in the store. The customer service is just really fun to watch. The employees are friendly. Let me tell you this, they know their stuff. So if you've never been to Mr. B's, trust me, you've got to check it out. They are the absolute best. That's Mr. B Clothing for men and women, located on 86th Street in Clive.
Hey there, Cyclone Nation. This is Tron Smith from Wilson Toyota of Ames. Consider this your personal invitation for the greatest car buying experience of your life. Located at 2212 South Duff Avenue in Ames, Wilson Toyota has been proudly serving Iowa Staters for decades, and we're proud to be the official car dealership of CycloneFanatic.com. Stop on in and check out our terrific selection of new and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. Or feel free to give me a call personally at 515-598-2029. Tell us that Cyclone Fanatic sent you, and as always, go Cyclones.
The Cyclone Fanatic Thursday Night Call-In Show is back for the 2012-13 Iowa State Athletics season, and it's better than ever. I'm Chris Williams. Join Brent Bloom, Tron Smith, and me every Thursday night from 7 to 8 right here on 1460 KXNO, as we'll be talking Cyclones, the Big 12, and so much more from Kippy's Place in Elkhart, home of the best burgers in the world. This is a call-in show, so we want to hear from you every Thursday from 7 to 8 right here on 1460 KXNO. Phillips Floors is proud to support Iowa State Athletics and CycloneFanatic.com, the best site around for talking about Cyclone sports. Phillips Floors is a full-service flooring company that offers professional, high-quality installation of hardwood, ceramic tile, natural stone, carpet, and vinyl floors. Call us today for a free estimate and an in-home consultation in the Indianola area at 515-961-7300 or in Ankeny at 515-964-0454. Visit us on the web today at phillipsfloors.com.
See what a smile can do.
When you want the freshest produce around, you want Hy-Vee.
From homegrown fruits and vegetables
to a wide selection of organics,
the berries are the best, but personally, I'm a big kiwi fan.
You know, the darker the greens, the better for you.
Fresh fruit is good fast food.
Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle.
Your home for Iowa State women's basketball is right here. This is head coach Bill Fenley on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Fanatic Call-In Show here at Kippy's Place in Elkhart. Chris Williams, Tron Smith, and one John Miller from HawkeyeNation.com joining us here this evening. We're glad to have John as part of the program. Want to let everybody know, go to the Cyclone Fanatic Facebook page. Actually, there's a link on our forum, too, right now for a really cool contest that we've got going on. It's what we're calling the Cyclone Fanatic College Football Pick'em, which is sponsored by Minor Rec Express. It's super easy. All you got to do is like both of our Facebook pages, that is. Pick 15 games every week. We've got big-time prizes that we're giving away to the winner every week, and the winner every week gets put into a drawing for a grand prize, which is two tickets, all session passes to the Big 12 basketball tournament, plus a hotel in Kansas City. So if you haven't entered yet, you can play every single week. You don't have to play every week, but all you got to do is win 1 week, and you get entered into that grand prize. So go to facebook.com/CycloneFanatic and go check that out. So we're looking forward to doing that. We put that up on the website today and got a ton of entries. So go check it out today. All right, back here, Kippy's Place in Elkhart. John Miller from Hawkeye Nation. The pretty arrogant joke to end the last segment. So we're going to come back and just talk football here.
You asked for jokes.
That was pretty. Did you see the look on the
that was a cheap shot.
I saw everybody laugh. We all can appreciate funny, and someone tweeted that to me this week. I laughed out loud, and I thought you'd want to. You know, I was just kicking off this contest.
Quality joke.
Yeah,
that's good smack.
I'll take them.
I actually wish that I could come back, but I don't have anything better than
that. There's nothing wrong with the walk off. You tip your cap, but you know what? There's more innings in the game.
Yeah,
so let's go.
All right. John, I was impressed with your running back on Saturday. Bullock, I mean, man, so much was made of that position and the lack of depth, and I was kind of the, I'm kind of one of the guys who just goes, oh, they'll roll a guy out there and he'll be good. But I wasn't expecting 150 yards from Mr. Bullock on Saturday. Where did that come from?
I don't think Kirk Ferentz was expecting that. I know that he wasn't expecting Bullock to carry the ball 30 times. I think that's. I don't know that Marcus Coker carried the ball 30 times. Maybe if he did, it was one time. I mean, early on in the game, right away, I was like, who is this?
Yeah.
I mean, I knew who it was, but he was picking his feet up and putting them down in a way that Iowa hasn't had a back do for a while. He was impatient early, which a lot of young backs are in a zone blocking scheme. But as the game went on, he showed patience. He was, you know that patience that you have in a zone blocking scheme when you put your hand on the offensive lineman's back and wait for the hole. And then he could show a burst on a one cut type situation. He had 30 carries. Only one of them went for negative yards. So I was really impressed. Now, he did have two fumbles in the game. But both of them came right by the boundary, so they went out of bounds. But, yeah, I was real impressed with him. Greg Garmon, you know, I do the post-game shows afterwards, and Ed Podolak was on with me and said that they did not want Garmon really to get in there on that wet and poor field. Mm-hmm. His first carry, he made one cut and fell down. And with the young back, they're like, that's good enough. We don't want him thinking about too many things. But it was a nice start. Iowa's offensive line did good in the run blocking. I think this offensive line by the October is going to be one of the three or four best in the Big Ten. The pass blocking last week, not so good.
Now, I'll tell you where I kind of see a hole that concerns me from an Iowa State perspective. Iowa State's defensive line last week, it's been well documented how they went 12 deep. You saw it at the end of last year, too. Really stands out in that Oklahoma State game. If you ever go back and watch the tape there, you have guys getting in there and really messing with Brandon Weeden late in that fourth quarter. Now, besides Jake McDonough, I don't think there's really a guy on Iowa State's defensive line who you could say, oh, he's got the potential to be an all Big 12 type lineman. But what they do have is they've got 12 guys who are pretty equal to one another. And at the end of that third quarter and the beginning of the fourth quarter, Tulsa was worn down, and they're plugging fresh guys out there. But my concern from Iowa State's standpoint is, when that Iowa offensive line is fresh, running the football, I actually think they can have some success on that defensive line. Do you agree with me based off of what you've seen?
I think so. I did notice last night Iowa State's defensive line interior. I'm not sure which guys it was at the time because they do make a rotation. But late first quarter, early second quarter, I saw some interior penetration. Not guys knifing and making tackles for losses, but just pushing their offensive linemen back into the backfield. And that basically can close down a cutback lane for a running back. If the play was designed to go to that side, they've got to go the other direction. So as a defensive lineman, you don't have to break in and get a tackle for loss to make an impact. If you can move the line of scrimmage back a yard in a play, you've disrupted the offense. The quarterback can't maybe step up into the pocket in that area because you're occupying it, which leaves him susceptible to rushes off the flanks. So, you know, I thought that they did a decent job against Tulsa, 160 rushing yards, I believe,
right around Tulsa had,
but 70 some odd came on one run.
Play? Yeah.
So I thought they looked solid.
You know, I think to expect more, we all talk about Jake McDonough, but, you know, Cleon Lang and you look at Roosevelt Majette, these are senior guys. These guys have been here before. They should you expect a little more pressure as the game went on. I think Wally and the defense kind of figured it out, and that's what you were talking about. Late in the game, they started figuring out what. Here's the thing about defensive linemen. You're only going to have so many Indominican Sioux. You're only going to have so many of these guys. What we need is guys that can at least plug a hole. You got great linebackers. We already know that. We don't have to get into that conversation. What they need to do is plug a hole. When you have that consistent rotation like they had, that's exactly what they're doing. They have fresh legs. They're just getting in the hole. They're just
control
in the right
gap,
spot.
Gap
that's
control.
What you have to do. I'm going to tell you where my concern is when it comes to this defense. They've done a terrible job of tackling early in that game. It was ridiculous. You go back and watch the game, this tackle after tackle after tackle. You know, I don't think we can do that in Kinnick. The thing about playing away at Kinnick is you can't make too many mistakes. The crowd's going to be all over you. And the offensive line of Iowa is always good. I don't remember them not having a decent offensive line. They're going to have to do a better job. The first person to get contact is the guy that needs to put the guy on the field. If they can do that, I think it's going to change this ball game tremendously.
All right, guys, let's go to the Hy-Vee hotline. We got a couple, I'm not sure if they're clones or Hawks calling in, but they want to talk football with us. So let's start with Clark in Altoona. Welcome to the program, Clark. How are we doing tonight?
Oh, pretty good. Thanks for taking my call. John, got to hand it to you, your walk-off joke. I'm a Cyclone fan, but you know, props to you, man. You needed a rim shot, though.
Yeah, I just needed a win. I just needed a win in that first segment. You know, it's just win every, try and win every segment. I'm up 1-0.
I don't have a joke to follow that up, but I do think that if the Hawks are going to wear these 1920s throwback uniforms, I realize they aren't going to wear leather helmets, but I do think they all ought to get haircuts and wax their mustaches. like the sign of the times. Okay. Have a good one, guys.
Take care. Take care.
Thank you, Clark. Calling into the Hy-Vee hotline. That's a great call.
Got
right?
any beauticians that can do some?
You got a linebacker. You got a linebacker with pretty long hair, don't you?
Yeah, AJ Klein.
Not that I'm going to tell him that to his face.
I think Rhodes called him Fonzie. Pretty sure that's
Fabio.
Fabio. Yeah. Say Fonz was a little more, you know,
a little more Chris Williams.
All right, there you go.
Let's go on to the back to the Hy-Vee hotline. Jim calling in from Urbandale. Hello, Jim. How are you?
Good. Yeah, hey, I'm on the Cyclone side of this rivalry, but I do like both teams. But you guys were talking about the defensive line. That's kind of what I want to talk about. I want to warn Iowa State fans out there that might be feeling really confident because Iowa's passing game seemed to be out of sync and not very smooth. I think that was a big result of Vandenberg being victimized by, like, a small, fast, stunning defensive line by Northern Illinois, and that's kind of tough to deal with, especially if it's the first game for a developing offensive line on probably a wet turf field, you know. So that's not the kind of defensive line Iowa State plays. So I just think that anybody that thinks that because Vandenberg didn't look too sharp and they didn't have a good passing game, which means Iowa State's going to be able to shut him down, I think they might be in for a false sense of security there. But what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, thank you for the call, Jim. We appreciate it. That's a great point that I wanted to pick your brain about tonight, John, was James Vandenberg and this whole what he looks like in Kinnick Stadium compared to what he looks like playing basically anywhere else. Your analysis on that.
Well, he's one of 10 players. When they go on the road, there's other 10 other players on there too.
Understood.
And road games, listen, you're only the 10,000th person that's brought this up in the last year. Murph and Andy today earlier on KXNO brought it up to Kirk himself on the phone. It's tougher to play on the road. Communication is more challenging on the road.
Which is the same conversation we just had about Steel James.
Right. So it's everybody is tougher. It's tougher to hear the line calls and things like that. Now, this wasn't a road game. It was a different environment, but Iowa certainly had the crowd advantage. I think that this offense, though, is suffering just from a standpoint of it's a new system. I talked with Kevontae Martin Manley and Keenan Davis back at Media Day. And Kevontae started talking about all the freedom that the receivers had in the system. Like, well, what do you mean freedom? He's like, well, we're making pre-snap reads as receivers, and then sometimes even after the snap, we can break our routes off based upon what we're seeing out there. Which I know that that's not like Iowa isn't inventing the wheel with that, but when you have a new system, inexperienced players, and then inexperienced players in a new system, man, I sure as heck would like them to know that I'm doing a 10-yard, then I'm going out. I don't want to have to rely on the quarterback and the receiver having some telepathy out there to do the same thing. And you saw a lot of guys, receivers cutting in, ball going out, receivers cutting in. They got a long way to go to be average from last week, long way to go to be average. And then, you know, the offensive line, they had some issues on the edge, outside moves, you know. Brandon Scherf, his first ever start at left tackle. Van Sloten's first ever start at right tackle. And they were beat by some, you know, pretty simple speed rush moves. They learned in the second half. They got them upfield a little bit and took them out of the play and let them use their, you know, their aggressiveness to their advantage. And certainly it was a beautiful play call on 3rd and 9 that they scored the touchdown on, taking advantage of letting that defensive end just run himself right out of the play. But, yeah, guys, that's one of the main reasons why I'm just so shaky about this is – that passing game was brutal. There were only two attempts beyond 10 yards in that game. And that's a lot of the things that Texas fans were critical of Greg Davis for his horizontal east-west coast offense.
Okay, you brought up Greg Davis, Iowa's new offensive coordinator, if you're a casual fan out there and don't know. He was at Texas. Specifically, put it from an Iowa State standpoint, when Iowa State went down there in 2010 for that big victory. But are there any wrinkles? I mean, should Iowa State be on the lookout for anything, or you just have no clue? Because, I mean, you couldn't see any. I watched the Iowa game on Sunday and took notes, and I'm just sitting there going, man, I mean, there's not a whole lot of guys on this offense who scare me at this point, but it can't be that bad. They have to get better this
Saturday. It's a big incomplete. I mean, they're going to get better. I just don't know that they're going to get better quick enough to win on Saturday or not. I think that, there's wrinkles, but, you know, first game week playbook, game plan is not as thick as it is week two. And it's, you know, some fans think, oh, they're holding things back for Iowa, or oh, they're holding things back for Iowa State. Maybe a couple of plays based on historic tendencies. You got a new offensive coordinator, all right? So I think it's more of we're going to put in some base stuff in week one, what our players can digest and process, and then it gets a little more expanded in week two. I think it really comes down to that. And Iowa just didn't execute this week. They ran over 70 plays, which for Iowa was a lot.
You know, their offense to me looked like what I used to call our offense when Tom Herman was here. I really think that Tom's deal was he had the perfect thought of what he wanted the offense to look like. I don't know that he had the horses to run that kind of race. And I mean, is that what they're running into in Iowa? Are we coming in saying, listen, I need you to get 10 yards and I need you to get there quick, and if it's there... I think maybe, you know, are we running into that? I'm asking you to do something, kid, that you – I recruited you as a runner, but you're a passer.
I had a little bit of that conversation today with Dave Refson of the Big Ten Network on Twitter, and he did talk about personnel. And one of the first things Greg Davis said at his second press conference at Iowa was, we got to get faster at receiver. We need more speed. So when they're running those quick hitters out in the flat to Keenan Davis or some guys that aren't necessarily, four legit electronically timed 4-5 guys, it's not going to work as quick because they're not going to be able to get north-south as quick. So I don't know. I'd like to think that they're not going to be putting – I don't think they're going to be putting square pegs into round holes all season. I think it was a rough game. I expected rust. I didn't expect that much rust. I'm hopeful that in game two they will make some improvement.
I think you're overreacting as far as
I very well could
week
be,
one.
Chris.
I really do, and I think Iowa State fans are too. I mean, generally, the old saying goes, it's not as bad as it looks, or, you know, it's not as good as it looks. And I feel like that's probably going to be the case. I just really do. Look at last year. Last year was the same way. Iowa State needed every second to beat Northern Iowa. Comes back and beats Iowa the next week. Who did you guys play in week one last year?
I don't know. The game was delayed by a storm.
I remember
it
that.
It was like a throwaway waste of a game. I was so disappointed.
I remember that.
It didn't even feel like the season had started, you know?
I just feel like there's a lot of overreaction going on both sides.
There always is, and I swore to myself. And I did really good Thursday night, Friday night. Didn't overreact to Michigan State, not playing their best game against Boise. I'm like, you know what? It's week one. Then it comes time for the Hawks to play.
Yeah,
and I go do sound off, and I'm like, man, this wasn't good, you know. And you're right. I think that we all have a tendency to do that with the teams that we cover more closely. I think they'll be better. I just nobody knows how much better. Kirk Ferentz said that most of the mistakes they made were correctable mistakes. I would agree. Vandenberg on the late 2-point conversion attempt. CJ Fedorowicz totally whiffed. It wasn't a chip, man. It was a block, and you whiffed. And Vandenberg about got killed, kind of like what could happen to you guys on the safety play.
Yeah,
in 86,
yeah.
You're tight end. He was supposed to chip, and you saw him just kind of go like that, just a little lightly touch. And the pulling, you ran a trap down there, and the pulling guard couldn't get over on that end enough because he wasn't held up for that half second he was supposed to be held up for. You get a safety. That's what happens in first games.
You know, I was quick to say that Iowa didn't play their best game, and they're automatically just a better – they're just a better team than that. I don't think they're going to play that bad. And I've been getting a lot of fans this week just kind of say the same thing. I'm really glad that I think more Iowa State fans are looking at this game saying, still Iowa. And that's different. Usually we look at this game, you look at Iowa's game and the way that Iowa State played last week, you get a lot of fans to say we're going to beat them by 30. I don't think we're getting that. But, John, on the other side of this thing, my friend, let's call a spade a spade. That team didn't look good last week.
No, that's how I started sound off.
And they didn't look... It wasn't that they look bad. They look really bad. Now, how much better do you really expect them to get in 1 week?
I don't know. I really don't know. If I could have my pick, clean up the offensive line mistakes and pass protection. That would be if I could wave my magic wand and have one area that was shorn up beyond the shadow of a doubt, if I can go Dale Carnegie with the magic wand, that would be it. Because then I think Vandenberg doesn't feel like his head's going to come off. And he's got more time to sit back there and make some plays. But I don't know. That's that's really what's riding on this game for me, is how much better can they get. I think the defense showed tangible improvement from the first half to the second half. They made some moves. I think Northern Illinois had like less than 70 total yards of offense in the second half, and they had 73-yard touchdowns, so they were going negative a lot of those plays. So I don't know. It's Iowa fans want to be optimistic that, hey, you know, the old adage of the team makes its biggest improvements from week one to week two, but I'm sitting there going, you know, hey, Iowa State has week two coming up too, so there's areas that they can improve, and hopefully the road environment negates that from an Iowa perspective.
Sean, you made a good point on cleaning up tackles for Iowa State. That's one that really hasn't been talked much about this week, but that when Tulsa kind of made that run, I mean, one, you put them in that spot with the safety. There's the big kick return, a lot of missed tackles by that young secondary, who I thought played a pretty good game coverage-wise, but tackles, and if I remember correctly, that was the case against Northern Iowa last year too, and it really got shored up. Not great for Iowa, but throughout the course of
the
season.
But, you know, that's that first game, the second game jitter. That could be one of the things that they work on and they get better. And one thing that I'm excited about getting into, since we've talked about Iowa's offense, I want to talk about this Iowa defense. This isn't the Iowa defense of old. This is a new-looking defense. And we'll get into that, but that's where my questions
lie. All right,
you're right. It's not the Iowa defensive hole.
We'll take a quick break. We'll get into that. We'll get into predictions. We got about 15 minutes to go. So if you have a question for John Miller, 515-284-5966. Never thought I would ever say that on the Cyclone Fanatic call-in show, but I'm proud to be doing it, John.
It's fun. Good time.
I'm glad. And guess what, man? You get to eat one of the greatest burgers.
I'm looking forward to it.
The best burger you're ever
telling me
eat.
All about that.
I know. And Tron, you
I'm
can
telling
vouch
you.
You can vouch
you got to eat it all, though.
Yeah, that's the key. That's
we don't have to do anything on this show.
That's the key.
That's not a problem.
Give us a call at 515-284-5966 on the Hy-Vee hotline. I want to remind everybody, too, we got a cool new thing going on every week at CycloneFanatic.com. The Channel Seed podcast, Austin Arnott and I are going to do it. Middle of the week, we're going to talk not only Iowa State, but Big 12, a new partnership with Channel Seed. Really excited about that one. Seedsmanship at work. So you can check that out each and every week at CycloneFanatic.com. We'll be back with more of the Cyclone Fanatic call-in show after this on 1460 KXNO.
Hey, Cyclone Fanatics, Chris Williams here. And one of the things I love about going into Mr. B's each week to chat Cyclones with Tim Sitzman, I get to watch how the store is run. Every customer is greeted sincerely. They're catered to their entire time they're in the store. The customer service is just really fun to watch. The employees are friendly. Let me tell you this, they know their stuff. So if you've never been to Mr. B's, trust me, you've got to check it out. They are the absolute best. That's Mr. B Clothing for men and women, located on 86th Street in Clive.
Hey there, Cyclone Nation. This is Tron Smith from Wilson Toyota of Ames. Consider this your personal invitation for the greatest car buying experience of your life. Located at 2212 South Duff Avenue in Ames, Wilson Toyota has been proudly serving Iowa Staters for decades, and we're proud to be the official car dealership of CycloneFanatic.com. Stop on in and check out our terrific selection of new and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. Or feel free to give me a call personally at 515-598-2029. Tell us that Cyclone Fanatic sent you, and as always, go Cyclones.
The Cyclone Fanatic Thursday Night Call-In Show is back for the 2012-13 Iowa State Athletics season, and it's better than ever. I'm Chris Williams. Join Brent Bloom, Tron Smith, and me every Thursday night from 7 to 8 right here on 1460 KXNO, as we'll be talking Cyclones, the Big 12, and so much more from Kippy's Place in Elkhart, home of the best burgers in the world. This is a call-in show, so we want to hear from you every Thursday from 7 to 8 right here on 1460 KXNO.
Protect those you care about this flu season. Talk to your Hy-Vee pharmacy about flu shots for your family. The single best way to prevent the flu is to get vaccinated each year. And flu shots are now recommended for everyone over the age of 6 months. Keep your family healthy and smiling. Talk to your Hy-Vee pharmacist today about flu shots. Your Hy-Vee pharmacy, where convenience meets care.
Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle.
Hawkeye and Cyclone fans, it's the Monday Evening Quarterbacks, presented by Hummel's Nissan. Mondays at 5 with Miller and Brinson. Join former Cyclone QB Austin Arnott and former Hawkeye QB Kyle McCann as they break down the weekend's games and look ahead at Iowa and Iowa State's upcoming opponents. It's the Monday Evening Quarterbacks, presented by Hummel's Nissan. Mondays at 5 with Miller and Brinson on 1460 KXNO.
Phillips Floors is proud to support Iowa State Athletics and CycloneFanatic.com, the best site around for talking about Cyclone sports. Phillips Floors is a full-service flooring company that offers professional, high-quality installation of hardwood, ceramic tile, natural stone, carpet, and vinyl floors. Call us today for a free estimate and an in-home consultation in the Indianola area at 515-961-7300 or in Ankeny at 515-964-0454. Visit us on the web today at phillipsfloors.com.
This is Iowa State Athletics Director Jamie Pollard, and you're listening to Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Fanatic call-in show here at Kippy's Place in Elkhart. Stop on over. Have a burger with us after the program. We'll go up until about 8 o'clock here. Tron, excited about this. You know, for the last couple of years, we've come on here and talked about Adam Gray Insurance, you know, because that's my insurance guy. It's where we all get our insurance, and we've talked about it. He's been a great supporter. Well, now he's part of the team. He's handling the sales and all the advertising for us.
Hey, you know, he does a good job. It was definitely a good ad. Same thing I talked about Arnott when we brought Arnott on,
yep.
That kind of deal. But Adam, he's that go-getter guy.
Yep.
He's that guy. I like Adam. The, you know, the only thing that disturbs me about Adam is I've never in my life had a guy eat chicken wings with a fork. That was newfound for me.
That was a little odd last night at the cake stand.
It was a little uncomfortable.
A little weird for everybody when he pulled out that fork. But good news, though. So Adam transferred his business over to a guy named Jeremy Jordan, who's going to be working with us here at Cyclone Fanatic as well. So starting next week, we'll go. Remember, we did the Adam Gray Insurance Recruiting Insider every week here on the program. It's going to be the Jeremy Jordan Agency Recruiting Profile coming up next week. Nationwide Insurance, we've got a great relationship with Nationwide Insurance, so I'm really excited to have Jeremy Jordan on board with us. And if Adam Gray trusts him, I think we all should too.
Well, hey, whatever Adam says.
We'll have to get Jeremy to come up here to Kippy's place.
We got to call him JJ or something. All that, you know,
double J,
tongue twister.
J squared.
No, I mean JJ, like Good Times, Dynamite, that kind of deal.
He has no idea what you're talking about.
I keep
22 years old.
I'm 28.
Oh, wow.
I was like 20 when I first
met
you, though.
Yeah, I was thinking when I come, I'm like, I'm probably the old man here now. I woke up one day, and I went from being the youngest guy to the oldest guy. I don't know how that happened.
You know what's sad is I'm kind of starting to feel that way, too.
I don't know who you're hanging around, man.
Me.
No, but give
old guys.
Need some insurance? Give Jeremy Jordan Agency a call at 515-323-5654. 515-323-5654. Reach the point in the program. We've got about 10 minutes to go, and we need to start doing some real. We need to start doing some predictions. Now, John, you, I saw your bit on WHO TV, where you picked Iowa State to miss an extra point.
Right.
And that would be the game winner for the Hawkeyes.
Right. Right.
Wow.
So I was in doing my bit yesterday.
Yeah.
Little story for you. And I'm like 30 seconds into it.
Your read.
My read.
Yeah.
I don't fly off the cuff. I actually do research and put some substance into mine. But so I'm like 30 seconds into it, and a door opens, which in the studio doesn't happen generally.
Can throw you off your game if you're not ready for it.
Yeah, it's never happened to me.
Yeah.
And it was kind of right in front of me, like right behind the teleprompter, because, yeah, I use a teleprompter, which you don't, correct?
Wow.
Because you're giving me this look.
I know.
No. Okay. But nonetheless,
what's next, Cialis?
This door opens.
Go ahead.
Guess who walks through the door?
Keith Murphy. No, he's out.
Incorrect. He is out in an RV.
Ed Wilson. The weather people are always walking.
Ed would just be hanging out.
Yeah, he would.
He would not come in the middle of
the
shoot.
Who was it?
It was a guy named Jamie Pollard and another one named Gary Barta.
Well,
so here I am 30 seconds into this. I'm getting out of the meat of it now, and I got to make a prediction. Kind of got to wrap it up, throw a little zinger in there. And the two athletic directors of the schools walk in and are just staring at me. probably the most uncomfortable moment of my life.
I know I've got a story I will share with you after the show. Not that I can't talk about it now. I just don't want to be a topper. All right, that's a very uncomfortable moment.
Because we all sit here and run our mouths.
Oh,
on the radio.
Yeah.
But when you got to do it in front of the guy.
Oh yeah.
It's a whole different ballgame.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No doubt. No doubt.
But I went 27-24. I since bumped it down 24-17. Kind of feel lower scoring, guys. Kind of feeling that.
I mean, it was low 20s last year till they got to
the overtime.
Yeah.
Yeah, until the overtime. But that's where I'm at. And to me, I hate putting it all on one guy. Kind of like your James Vandenberg comment about being on the road. But I really like Iowa State's team, though. I like the matchups. I like what Iowa State has to offer. But I do think, I mean, a lot of it's going to come down to Steele's decision-making. If he mimics what he did last week against Tulsa, it's going to be a fun bus ride back. If he doesn't, I think the Kinnick Stadium demons might get to him. I really can't stress special teams enough. Can't give
right.
up a kick return, a punt return, any of that. Team that does that, team that has a special teams meltdown, could very well lose the game based off of that. But that's where I'm at, John.
There's two huge turning points in any road football game for any team. How do you withstand the sugar high of the home team gets in the first quarter, the first two possessions? How do you withstand that? Are you able to at least tread water?
Yeah.
Stay even, stay within one score after a quarter. Now you've overcome the emotion. Now it's just a football game. The second thing is how you react to the first big drop of adversity that you get on the road. You know, is it a pick six? What do you do the next time you come back? How you react? Those are the two biggest things on the road in football. And if you can manage the emotion the first quarter and not harm yourself in the first quarter, usually it bodes well for you if the talent is evenly matched, which at best it's evenly matched, and Iowa State may have an advantage there.
So you're taking the Cyclones. Great call there, John. Here's the deal, man. First thing you got to do, you have to weather the storm if you're Iowa State. You got to weather the storm. When you get off the bus, the fans are going to be all in your face. They're going to make everything hype. My key to this game is Iowa State needs to get in Kinnick. They need to get, whether it's defense, give them a three and out. Whether it's offense, you go down and score, even if it's a field goal. They have to get on this ball game. They have to get on it early. I think it's going to be important. My key to success is going to be crazy because we haven't talked about it. I think the key to success is our running backs. I think we're going to be able to run on this team. And I think right in the middle, right in the gaps where my main man, Sean John, likes to run, I think he's going to have a huge game in Kinnick.
Let me bounce that off of Miller because you told me earlier today on chat that that's going to be the key is the tackles, the interior defensive line play for Iowa. Tron just throws that out there. What do you say to it? How confident are you that Iowa can do that?
I'm not confident at all. Watching that game last night, Iowa State's primary formation that they use is a four wide receiver set with usually a running back on the hip of Steele Jantz, one side or the other. Yeah, they use some pistol. They use some pistol with a lead, with an H-back being a lead. Sometimes they keep the H into pass pro. But primarily, it's four wide and Steele and a running back, and it's zone read. Now, when you have that, and you basically walk the linebackers outside the tackle box, so it's five offensive linemen against four defensive linemen and one running back. That's five on five. And if Steele Jantz is running leads, he's got Chantrell or White or whomever or Woody as a lead blocker. That's six on five. That's smart football. That's how you run the football out of a spread offense. That's how you do it. You basically have taken the numbers. And Iowa's interior defensive line, I'm real, real concerned because they do not have gap control linemen the way that they've had it for much of the last decade. Last year they didn't have it. This year will be worse.
All right.
But Iowa wins by one.
So you're sticking with that.
If it were in any other stadium in America, I would pick Iowa
State. Here's the deal, though, Miller. You're sitting here saying this, but you haven't sounded confident all night.
No, I haven't.
And now you're just going to arrogantly, after you've said all night long about how Iowa State's got – it seems to me like you're setting yourself up to be like, well, you know,
I told you that was going to happen.
Iowa State fans are amongst the most honest people in the world. Have I sounded arrogant at one juncture tonight?
No. Well, according to the folks at CycloneFanatic.com.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I gave you the out, John, because we already established that you are rooting for Iowa State. You already said they're going to win. So when that happens, you can come back and say, I said it on the Cyclone Fanatic radio show that Iowa State is going to win
we'll
the game.
Listen,
that's not a problem. I'm just glad that you came out here and you wore and you know what? I like the Iowa State socks. I appreciate that, John, for all you Hawkeyes listening at Hawkeye Nation.
Robert Griffin.
I think it's good. One thing I'm excited about is I think we're going to get a good ball game. It's a lot of unknowns. you know, how will Steele play? How will the offense look for Iowa? There's a lot of unknowns, and when you get that, it's going to come down to a turnover or something like that.
It very well could. But I would think that if one team wins in a deciding way, I think that Iowa State has a much better chance than Iowa does to do that. But I don't know. It's a big game, means a lot. I'm going to be nauseous watching it by myself in my basement. I don't want anybody around me. I'm taking my kids over to Eastern Iowa to my folks tomorrow night. I'm driving back late, and then I'm just going to bunker it up, and I don't eat during football games.
You are bracing for a lot of pain, my friend.
I just got anxiety in me, man.
You should.
Don't flatter yourself. Saturday.
I'm just saying, man.
Here's the thing. The reason why is Saturday night is the most listened to, arguably the most listened to radio show in the state of Iowa every 2 years, and that's Sound Off after an Iowa State game in Kinnick. Because you have all the Iowa State fans driving back listening.
Well, that's of course.
And if Iowa State
wins,
it is a nightmare program.
Did you hear me?
Nightmare program.
That's of course when Cyclone Reaction concludes. Then they flip it over to you.
Sorry. After.
Early on, because that signal doesn't get over there. Then once they get the signal, absolutely, absolutely.
I just wanted to clarify.
Absolutely, that. Cyclone Reaction. What's the station for that?
It's the entire Cyclone Radio Network.
Perfect. There you go.
We got some over in Eastern Iowa.
Hey, we talk in the hallway. We ride elevators up on Saturdays sometimes.
That is kind of fun, though.
Yeah, we go in. We
except the ones when Iowa State loses.
You say all the things.
Miller peeking around. Little grin on his face.
You say all the things that you can't say on Pravda on the Cyclone Network to me, and then you go back in and do it.
You can't let our secrets out, man.
Sorry about that,
John. For real though, thank you for coming.
That's good.
Tonight.
Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
We've had a lot of fun.
Good time.
We will post this podcast on CycloneFanatic.com later on tonight.
Fact check it on Sunday. See who got it right.
Yeah. Well, you know, just call me. Listen, John, in case you haven't listened to any of our shows, I am never wrong.
And I will say this. This is as calm as I've seen Tron.
Iowa State didn't go 12-0 last year, though.
You know, my wife asked me to really be nice. I've been talking all week about John Miller coming on, and everybody's hyping it about me and you. We're going to fight and all that kind of stuff.
I don't know. Who thought that?
I don't know. She says like a pit bull and a rabbit. And I don't know who's who.
She may be right about that. I'm an old man. My back hurts.
No. Oh, man. Wow. That's good. But, no, Smith, you really have been about as calm as I've seen you on the radio, though. So
I wanted to come in. I wanted to be nice. My boss talked to me before I left. He says, you know, you get really, really wound up. You usually say something you really didn't mean. He talked to me as I left. He said, just stay calm. Don't hurt anyone. Save it for Saturday.
We had a lot of
that's what I'm going
to
do.
We had a lot of football to talk about.
Well, and now you can see why I'm trying to. I always have your back with the clones. You know that when they're on their bad mouthing you. And
you do.
I do.
You do. We try to look out for each other.
John Miller is not a bad guy. He's a great human being. So thanks for coming, John.
It's good
order
to be
yourself
here.
A burger.
I will do that.
John, you're going to Iowa City, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. You have fun. You and Adam Gray stay out of trouble.
You going to wear that shirt?
Sure. John Miller, in case you hadn't noticed, I'm 178 pounds.
By the way, Iowa fans, if you see Tron in that shirt,
run.
Just let him through.
Thanks to everybody for coming out to Kippy's Place tonight. Good crowd. Remember, we're having that contest at Kippy's Place Facebook page. The best Iowa or Iowa State joke gets you a keg party here at Kippy's. I think Miller probably won that.
Should we give him the keg?
I don't even drink.
You know, a keg of root beer.
There you go.
Diet or regular?
Regular.
You're a regular guy. Regular. Yeah, go to facebook.com/Kippy's Place. Remember, go to the Cyclone Fanatic Facebook page for our Pick'em competition sponsored by Minor Rec Express. This week, a $250 detail for Minor Rec Express going to the winner. And you also get your name in that drawing for the tickets to the Big 12 basketball tournament, all session passes, hotel, everything from CycloneFanatic.com and also Minor Rec Express. Thanks for listening tonight, everybody. We'll have the podcast up at CycloneFanatic.com later on this evening. If you're traveling east on Saturday, please be safe. Again, thanks for listening. Thanks to Steve Young, John Sellers, everybody for helping out with the program. We'll be back here, right here next week at Kippy's Place in Elkhart from 7 to 8 on 1460 KXNO.
Sports. sports radio in Iowa starts and ends right here. 1460 KXNO, Des Moines, an iHeartRadio station.